Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
I happen to have Mr. McLuhan right here.
I heard what you were saying. You know nothing of my work.
Also, dude, Chinaman is not the preferred nomenclature. Asian American, please.
Actually, it's pronounced Miliwake, which is Algonquin for the good land.
Check out the big brain on bread.
Movie time. We're going to leave you this week and this hour thinking about the movie options for the weekend. Yes, Hollywood's weekly attempt to steal your money and make you forget about all of your cares or drive you right back into them. Our movie day team is here. Rafer Guzman and Kristen Meinzer. Rafer is film critic for Newsday. Kristen, culture producer for The Takeaway. Welcome, guys.
Hi.
Hi, John.
So the billboards all over everywhere are Burt Wonderstone, the comedy about Las Vegas magicians. Let's hear a clip.
Burt, I'm not looking for a partner.
I've been a solo act for a million years, and it's going pretty good.
David, how long have we been friends?
We're not friends.
Mm-hmm. But if we teamed up, it could bring your career to the next level.
Well, I have a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Imagine this. The Incredible Burt and David.
No.
So Steve Carell always plays himself, but we've got David Copperfield playing himself. Rafer, what do you think?
That's a little cameo from David Copperfield, who is a consultant on the film, by the way. You know, I expected a lot out of this movie. It's a great cast. Steve Carell, Steve Buscemi, Jim Carrey. Somehow it didn't quite work for me. I didn't feel like the jokes were that sharp. Jim Carrey plays a street magician who's kind of edging into Burt Wonderstone's territory. A little bit Chris Angel, a little bit David Blaine, but it's unfocused. I couldn't tell where the film was going. Ultimately, there wasn't that much magic in it for me.
Kristen, do they have superpowers? Is that part of the premise here, or are they just basically show people?
The superpower is their ability to make us laugh and feel the magic in our hearts. I loved this movie. I am not even sure what you're talking about, Rafer, about it being hard to follow. It's a very simple plot. We have the two best friends in an act together. The act falls apart. They have a competitor that they have to beat. And can they bring the act back together? Can they bring the magic back? And to me, it was so stupid that you could just enjoy the stupidity. You're not going in there because you want something like Albert Einstein to be preaching at you. You just want something fun. You want something silly. And for me, I really felt the magic.
So Dumb and Dumber meets rabbits coming out of a hat. By the way, were any rabbits hurt in the making of this movie, as far as you can tell?
I think there is talk of a dove that has been deboned. So there is that.
Serious?
Yes.
Everything gets play in Hollywood. All right. So a mixed opinion there on Burt Wonderstone, the comedy about Las Vegas magicians. The Call is Halle Berry's latest. Listen.
911, where's your emergency?
A man is trying to break into my house. I'm all alone.
Okay, sweetheart, calm down.
My parents are out there at a movie. I can't reach them.
I understand that, sweetheart. What's your name?
Leia Templeton. Oh, God. She's coming in the back.
Okay, Leia, listen to me. Find a room and lock yourself in it right now.
Okay.
Helpful advice from a 911 caller there. Halle Berry playing the 911 operator gets a call that spins a whole sort of plot forward. Go ahead, Rafer.
Well, you know, this is usually you see a thriller like this, even with someone like Halle Berry, an Oscar winner in the title role. You know, it's usually the kind of standard stuff. But luckily, this movie, I think, happens to be made by crazy people. This movie is a mix of Psycho, it's a little bit Saw, a little bit Reservoir Dogs, Thelma and Louise. It goes all over the map. It's completely nuts. And I have to say, by the end of the film, I actually really enjoyed it. It also, I want to say, has the world's dumbest serial killer in it, who really winds up being like comic relief. The guy never brings a rope, any tape, never pats down his victim for a cell phone. And after a while, your heart kind of goes out to the guy. He's having a terrible day.
So it's a little bit like Speed. Utterly implausible,
yes,
but you go with
completely implausible. But by the end, I was really kind of slapping my knee and having a pretty good time.
And, you know, this is sort of the time of year when we start to think about spring break. It seems to me that spring break becoming a seasonal thing is a sign of a degradation of American culture. But the indie film that is one of the releases this weekend is Spring Breakers, starring Selena Gomez, Vanessa Hudgens, James Franco. Let's listen.
Who are you?
My name's Aileen. My real name's Al, but truth be told, I ain't from this planet, y'all.
Why are you here?
I saw y'all in there. They like nice people. Thought maybe I'd bail you out.
Why?
Why not?
Now, the premise of this seems to be, you know, Mickey Mouse meets bad teacher. I don't quite understand what's going on here. Kristen?
Well, Harmony Korine, the director, you might remember, released a movie called Kids about 15 years ago, which was very edgy. It was showing the naughtiness of really privileged kids. This is showing the naughtiness of kids who aren't so privileged. They are some really, really criminal girls who all decide they really want to go on spring break. They get into trouble while they're down there. This is the scene where they're getting bailed out by James Franco. All the girls, three out of four of them, are played by Disney alum, one from ABC Family, two from Disney TV. And what you have is reality, which is Disney girls, with this really, really kind of half-naked movie that it feels like Girls Gone Wild meets an American Apparel ad, meeting criminal elements, meeting porn, all in one movie. And I think it's kind of a hot mess, actually.
Really? So it's dreadful, but this is all deliberate on the part of the directors to deliver this edge by using this cast.
I think it was very, very deliberate, and I don't think it works, unfortunately.
All right. So let's talk about the indie that both of you have seen. It's called Ginger and Rosa. Well, first of all, let's hear the premise of this, Rafer, and then we'll hear the clip.
It's a new Sally Potter film. It's about two teenage girls living in England in the 1960s. The Cuban Missile Crisis is occurring. There's a lot of nuclear existential angst going around. But there's also, without spoiling too much, a relationship, a love relationship that comes between these two best friends.
And the cast?
The cast is great. We have Elle Fanning playing Ginger. We have Jane Campion's daughter playing Rosa. We have Christina Hendricks from Mad Men, and we have Annette Bening. It's a really great cast, actually.
Let's hear a clip.
It says here that a girl's most important possession is a bubbly personality.
Do you think Simone de Beauvoir has a bubbly personality?
Who?
That French writer. She's an existentialist.
Says here that boys don't like girls who are too serious.
Do they get this right, Kristen?
I think they get the friendship right. We have a girl who is much more wild, much more sexual, needs a lot of attention from men. We have the other girl who's much more intellectual, who's a poet, who's anti-war. And you see the ways that they're very much alike, and then you see the ways that men come between them. And I think that's very well handled, actually. But it takes a turn very abruptly, which didn't really work for me in the movie.
So it sounds like you're glad this movie was made, but it doesn't quite work for you, Rafer?
I loved it from start to finish.
No kidding.
I thought it was fantastic. Again, you can't beat the cast. And, you know, Timothy Spall, Oliver Platt, Annette Bening. I mean, it's just, you know, from top to bottom, it's great. And I thought it was a really interesting look at the way a liberal, humanist, secular family that gives its kid too much freedom ultimately fails. And that's kind of a story you don't see that often in a movie. And I thought it was wonderful.
All right. The movies this week, The Incredible Burt Wonderstone, The Call, Ginger and Rosa, and Spring Breakers. Rafer Guzman, film critic for Newsday. Kristen Meinzer, culture producer for The Takeaway. Thanks so much.
Thanks. Have a great weekend.
John.
Listen to their preferences on the Movie Date podcast, of course, which you can find at thetakeaway.org. Every day, The Takeaway involves listeners in the next day's show. We want to invite you. Come on. Get an early start on a conversation via text message. All you have to do is text the word START to 69866. Standard message rates apply. We'll give you a question each day about something featured in the next day's show. To get the conversation started, think about your workplace. What would you change? Tell us a story of what is changing about the way you work. On Monday, we're going to be talking all about the workplace and about some technology that may be coming to an office near you. Next time on The Takeaway, the changing workplace in a suddenly positive employment environment. There are jobs. How's yours? I'm John Hockenberry. Have a great weekend. This is The Takeaway.
The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the Henry Luce Foundation for Increased Understanding of East and Southeast Asia. The Takeaway is produced by WNYC and Public Radio International in collaboration with The New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.